Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Live in LA, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Big stories breaking, Joy.
Wow. NFL really outdid the NBA trade deadline, huh?
Well, the NBA trade deadline was just a day. There wasn't a lot of talk up to it, right? NFL's gone on for a month. We've been doing this for a month.
This is amazing, and I'm so glad that this type of player mobility and aggressive nature is gaining momentum in the NFL. Because it's like, we can't stop talking about this stuff. This is insane.
And people always become what they are. Like Cincinnati, no moves. This has been their reputation. It's funny. Like, my buddies around the league that are GMs and assistant GMs, they're like, Cincinnati's not even worth calling. They just don't make moves ever. It's very conservative. The Brown family is very Midwest conservative. They don't make moves. Miami's essentially, if you're just watching, we're going to do a mock draft here for the first 12 picks. And the reason we're going to do 12, that's where Philadelphia moved down to. So if you just joined us, the San Francisco 49ers have moved up to the number 3 spot in the draft. Miami moved down to 12. And then immediately move back up to 6, and Philadelphia moves 6 down to 12, telling you they're going to stay with Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's a bad move with Philadelphia. Bottom line is, I've said this all along, unless there's a John Elway, an Andrew Luck, a Peyton Manning-ish, a Trevor Lawrence, and you need a quarterback, I have no interest being a top 5 pick. Trade down. It's expensive. These guys are unproven. I think the league's made up. If it was up to me, I would always trade a first-round pick for a current star in the league, like the Rams or Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a corner as good as Jalen Ramsey in the first round. So I would always trade my first-round pick unless, you know, you are the Jags and Trevor Lawrence on the market.
Or if you're Philadelphia, you're in a complete rebuild.
They may not admit it, but they've whiffed on way too many players. All right, so let's just do a mock draft.
Okay.
This will be America's most accurate mock draft for an hour. The rest of it's crap. All right, so the Jags have the first pick.
Yes.
This is the only thing we know for sure. Trevor Lawrence. He regionally fits. He was heralded as the best high school quarterback in a decade 3 years ago. He's just gotten better. It's a lot of Justin Herbert. He can run. He's smart. He's got self-awareness. He's got a big arm. Now, he plays with better people than Justin Herbert, but he was also winning national championship, and Justin Herbert was winning the Rose Bowl. So this is a no-brainer. Some people think he's a little thin. Folks, he's fine. He throws a beautiful ball. All right, so number 2, my guess is they're going to move Sam Darnold. I'll go with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson can run. He's got a whip. I do worry about that he didn't beat good teams in college, but if you're Joe Douglas, you get 4 years of a cheap quarterback. Robert Saleh wants his own guy.
You have to do it.
And by the way, it's a battle in New York for eyeballs. The Giants have gone in free agency. The Brooklyn's winning in the NBA. The Yankees are going to be a World Series favorite. Sam Darnold is a little flat right now in New York. So San Francisco's now number 3. Now, I don't have any insight on which guy they like. I'm going to roll the dice and say Trey Lance. Trey Lance is very mobile, big, strong, good kid, very humble. And by the way, Kyle Shanahan has mostly had quarterbacks that don't move. I think he likes the idea of having a big, strong kid that can move. By the way, Lance also called all of his own protections in college. So he's a very heady kid. This is a very complex offense. So I'm going to go Trey Lance, number 3. Now, this is where it gets dicey for me. This whole thing with Atlanta, I would not go for a quarterback. First of all, Matt Ryan's getting Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith saved Ryan Tannehill's career. So my belief is, Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith, the numbers are going to go up. And we're going to be looking at Matt Ryan next year throwing 33 touchdowns with 9 picks. And you're going to be stuck with a backup quarterback. I think they got a million things to worry about. I would go get Penei Sewell, who is this left tackle from Oregon. And again, doesn't everybody in the NFL, outside of about 4 teams, need a great left tackle? So whether you have Matt Ryan, who's not overly mobile.
Yeah.
Again, I would love for them to get a defensive player, but there's no way the Atlanta Falcons scouting department has any of these defensive players ahead of the 2 offensive linemen.
I could see them trading back, too.
Absolutely. So number 5, Cincinnati. And again, they're probably not going to move. I would protect Joe Burrow, who's coming off an injury. So let's go. Rashawn Slater, the offensive lineman from Northwestern. He can do tackle. So the good news with him, they've already got Jonah Williams, a left tackle. And they've already got 2 receivers, Boyd and T. Higgins, I like. And they have a star running back. So they've got some nice components on the offense. And Joe Burrow was very good early. What they don't have is a quarterback that's totally healthy. He's off an injury, and Slater grades very high. He went toe-to-toe with Chase Young at Ohio State and held his own. And I think that's a good pick for them. Okay, now it gets interesting. Miami at 6. So what has Miami told us? Let's just think about this. We're sticking with Tua. Now, we all think that's a little bit of a risk.
Yes.
So what they want to do to ensure that Tua succeeds, they get him Will Fuller. They already have 1 receiver I like. Then they get Will Fuller. And then they have a tight end I like. I say they get Kyle Pitts, who is me the best tight end prospect I've ever seen. Played in the state of Florida. So now I got you a speed guy, Will Fuller, to go with a decent... I thought the Dolphins receiving core was okay anyway. It wasn't a weakness. Now I get you an over-the-top Will Fuller. They've already got... a tight end I like. Now you get a star tight end. So what they're telling you in Miami is, we're going to make this thing, if Tua can't work with these guys, we will know
right by
Thanksgiving we don't have the right quarterback. But they're gonna do like Cleveland's doing with Baker Mayfield. We're just going to give you a bunch of weapons.
And the New York Giants with Daniel Jones.
So that's what these teams are doing. Like, we're going to give you the weapons, and we'll know by Thanksgiving if you can play or not. So now Detroit has 7. This is a tough because they need defense, but Kenny Golladay is gone. So Jared Goff comes in. He's got no weapons. I'm going to say Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver at LSU, who's really a kind of a more complete potential receiver than Kenny Golladay. You can't bring Jared Goff in, and he has no number one wide receiver. You got to give him something to work with. So, again, I don't think it's – they have so many needs. They have so many defensive needs. But, again, I think Chase probably grades higher than the defensive players at this spot. 8, Carolina. They need a quarterback. I'm going to say Justin Fields. So, I think – now, again, I think they may move up to 4 eventually to ensure they get him. But I don't like to do trades before they happen with mock drafts. So I think they'll probably move up to Atlanta and make a deal. You hate to make a deal in your own division, though. Last thing you want to do is fortify Atlanta with a bunch of picks. So it's a dicey situation for Carolina. They drafted all defense last year, Joy.
Yeah.
My guess is they go Justin Fields, who I think has a chance to be really good. So now this is where I just go needs. So listen, Denver wants a quarterback, but I don't think Mac Jones, I'm not taking him there. So they just went out and bought Kyle Fuller, a very good corner from Chicago. I'll say what I said yesterday to Joel Klatt. I think they double down, get Caleb Farley, the Virginia Tech corner. They're so defensively, they have a million things to do. And I like their offensive personnel. I just don't love Drew Locke.
And you have to have strong corners in that division.
And last year, you remember, Joy, they went after wide receiver talent. The year before, they went and got a star tight end. So, and they've got running back. So Denver's got your offensive components. But they're not good enough at quarterback to win shootouts. So they've got to keep these games in the 20s. So I think they go Farley, the corner. Dallas at number 10. Again, Dallas went and got a safety from Atlanta, who's more of an in the box safety. He'll be up near the line of scrimmage. I still think they have a corner they like, but they let Byron Jones go a year ago. I say they get Patrick Surtain, the Alabama corner. That would be my guess. They really should have addressed this last year, but they went and got CeeDee Lamb. So they're secondary. They haven't had a great safety since Darren Woodson. That's why they were in the Earl Thomas talks and the Jamal Adams talks. Their secondary is a problem, and it's doubled down as a problem when they don't have a pass rush. So Surtain's another great Alabama prospect. 11. See, again, the Giants have already solved. They went and got Kyle Rudolph. So I would have put Pitts with him. Nope. They went and got Kenny Golladay. All right, I would have done receiver for them. Nope. They went and just spent a fortune on a Dory Jackson. So they don't need a corner. So when I look at the Giants, to me, I say protect Daniel Jones. That's the only thing. I mean, they've addressed their defensive line, wide receiver, tight end, corner. They've spent money on it. I say they go Elijah Vera Tucker, USC. They drafted their left tackle last year. He's a left guard. He was great. He can also play tackle. These days in the NFL, if you can play left tackle, you play right tackle, vice versa. You kind of just, everybody now looks at tackles as kind of both ways, unless you're a, you know, kind of a, the Becton for the Jets looks like a left tackle should look. So I would go Elijah Vera Tucker because I just think the Giants answered all their questions in free agency. And then Philadelphia, again, we've got Jalen Hurts. Now, the offensive line's healthy, but I think you have to go out and help him. And so I'm going to say Devontae Smith, wide receiver, yeah. Alabama. I don't think there's an offensive lineman at that spot they'd be comfortable with. And again, he's a playmaker. And if you have a young quarterback, you got to give him a shot. You got to be fair. You got to give these kids something to work with. And Devontae, a lot of years at Alabama. Alabama has a pretty sophisticated system, so he's going to come in and be able to figure things out pretty quick. So there's, this is for, now again, what I really believe is Atlanta at four and Carolina or Denver. I think Carolina 8, Denver 9. See, I think Atlanta would make a deal with Denver at 9.
Yes.
So my guess is Denver's going to make a move at 9 to move up to 4 for Atlanta, because I don't know how you get out of the Matt Ryan situation for 2 years, and he's not bad anyway. That's not their issue.
They don't need a quarterback. I would move back if I was Atlanta.
So this is the world's most accurate mock draft for
the
at least
next 5 minutes.
Yeah, until we go to break.
Let's check Twitter.
But I will. My prediction is Denver at 9 will make a trade with Atlanta at 4.
Well, we know that there's a lot of teams on that in that top 12 that need quarterbacks. And now that other teams are being aggressive, this can catch fire because it's, you know.
This is what happens.
This is what happens. And we know that Cincinnati is not an aggressive organization.
That's right. So Atlanta is going to get calls from Carolina and Denver. They don't want to make a deal with somebody in their division. That's just the way it is. Last thing I want to do is, you know,
help
you. I'm not going to give you a quarterback I have to face. That's just not the way it works. So Atlanta at 4 and Denver at 9. Because right now, Cincinnati doesn't need a quarterback. Miami's got Tua. Detroit's got Goff. So 8 and 9 need quarterbacks. And if you need a quarterback, you're not going to just sit there and pray they fall. You're just not.
Yeah, because this well, is, I love it, might could change.
So I think the first Denver, listen, we know Denver wants to. We know Denver wants to move up. You cannot be in a division with Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, and Patrick Mahomes. You're fourth place. Write it down right now. Denver fourth.
I hope if they stick with Tua that this is how it works out and they get Kyle Pitts. I don't know. I'm not entirely still okay, convinced so, that they're sticking with Tua.
Okay, so give me the Miami skill people right now. So it is Mike, the tight end, Mike Gesicki, who's a really tough kid. I really like him. With Kyle Pitts, Will Fuller, Devontae Parker.
Devontae Parker.
And they have one more receiver I think is okay. And they also have a running.
Jakeem Grant.
They have a running back I like from University of Washington.
Miles Gaskin.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden, now Miami's going to get Kyle Pitts, but Miami's got a lot of picks now. They're going to address the offensive line after that.
Well, they need to.
They need to. Defense is fine. So
I wouldn't. Well, I love Kyle Pitts, and that's where I would go. I would not be surprised if they take an offensive lineman there.
I just think Cincinnati's going to take it first. Cincinnati really should.
Yeah, they have to.
Have to, because they have two good receivers, and there's a ton of receivers
in
this draft
anyway.
Well,
you just got Joe Burrow, and he's injured because you don't have an offensive line.
Go ahead and mock my mock draft. This feels so special.
I don't think there's anything to mock here. I do think that Justin, if this were to play out like this and Carolina got Justin Fields at number 8, that is a gift.
Okay, put this mock draft up and have people rip me on Twitter. Okay, so whatever. I want to see.
Is that what people do?
Well, I have filters now, so I don't see
them.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I guarantee you they're ripping me.
I mean, ripping what? Nobody saw this coming.
So much fun. This is so much fun. This is where I never played fantasy football, but this is my fantasy football, drafting. This is it. That's all nonsense, but I just totally love it. Eric Mangini around the corner. He'll probably disagree on a bunch of stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
This Sunday, don't miss your chance to win $25,000 of Clint Boyer's money during the NASCAR Cup Series Dirt Race at historic Bristol Motor Speedway. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and pick six outcomes in Clint's Stage 2 contest for your shot at $25,000. It's completely free to play.
Eric Mangini, you know, he liked to wheel and deal a little bit when he was with the Browns and Jets. And New England, by the way, has always been a team that'll wheel and deal in the draft. And Mangini, Fox Sports NFL analyst, Eric joining us. All right, so let's start. Let's go through the order here. So, Miami, let's start with Miami. They trade out and they trade back up. What's your overall interpretation of what the Dolphins did?
I loved it. I loved the initial trade where they got the two additional number ones, where they would have had two ones this year, next year, and the year after. And then trading back up and keeping the one, you know, a year removed. I get that. They must have six players that they feel really strongly about, that they feel are difference makers, and that's their border, and that's why they made that additional move. I just love the idea of accumulating as many draft picks as they've had, and they've done a great job with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so what you're basically saying, they could have traded back up with anybody, but they probably have, you know, they probably got six, seven guys. By the way, my theory is that they're going to go with Tua, and to ensure Tua succeeds, they go get Will Fuller. And my gut feeling is, why not get Kyle Pitts, where you have two good tight ends, two or three good receivers? Does that sound like a crazy pick to you?
No. I always wanted to get a tight end when I was in New York, and I really liked Vernon Davis when he was coming out. We had a lot of debate about whether or not to draft Vernon that first year, because as a defensive coordinator, you appreciate the problems that tight ends create. And especially if you've got an elite guy, or if you've got two guys, which Miami then would have two guys that could create problems, it changes the dynamic. You have to figure out how you're going to deal with them from a personnel perspective. You have to figure out, once you get the personnel on the field, how you want to assemble them. It creates a lot of issues defensively, and it's a really good safety net for a young quarterback. Yeah. For any quarterback, for that matter.
Okay, so let's talk about it from the San Francisco perspective. You know, they've got a lot of big contracts. They just signed Trent Williams. I said it a week ago. I said when they signed Trent, I said, they better get inexpensive at quarterback, because they got Armstead and Kittle and Bosa. And then when they signed the Trent Williams, they even upgraded their excellent fullback. I mean, listen, they're good. You're not moving up not to get a quarterback. That's pretty. Now, would you be concerned at all how it plays in the quarterback room with Jimmy Garoppolo and them giving up a fortune to get a quarterback? How does it play with Garoppolo? Would that worry you?
Well, it doesn't really matter how it plays with Garoppolo. If they've given up what they've given up to go get a quarterback, Jimmy's days are numbered, no matter how well he plays. And he may not even survive the offseason at this point. So they're not thinking in terms of Jimmy's reaction at all. It's bold, and there must be a guy that they really love. And if I'm excited for anybody, I'm kind of excited for the Jets. If they're going to keep Sam Darnold, they have an opportunity now to build something special in terms of trading back and getting draft picks.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, Kyle Shanahan and his style. So let's say the Jets keep theirs, and the Jags take Trevor Lawrence, and then the Jets take Zach Wilson, let's say. And then you have Justin Fields and Trey Lance, both mobile, both guys got big arms. One's a big school guy, small school guy. Justin Fields has been a little inconsistent. Trey Lance hasn't played a ton. Knowing Kyle Shanahan, is there a style of quarterback that he would like at three?
That's a tough question. There's got to be two guys that they like, because you're making the assumption that one's going to go to New York.
Right.
So there's got to be two players that they feel comfortable with. And here's the fallacy with that, Colin, is as much as you say there's two guys you like, there's one guy you really like. Right. And then there's another guy that, you know, will be okay if you end up with him, or you like him, it's just not quite the same. Stylistically, I don't. Both those guys, God, you're betting on the come a lot with both guys because of what you said, the inexperience or the inconsistency. I'm not sure who they have the conviction on.
Yeah. So I did a mock draft here, which for the next 10 minutes is the most accurate mock draft in America, and then it'll be crap like all the rest of them. But I said this, the one team that befuddles me is Atlanta. So Matt Ryan, when he got a really good OC, was an MVP. He now gets Arthur Smith, who really saved Ryan Tannehill's career. And so my takeaway is, okay, now he's got an offensive coach and a very smart guy. My guess is, in a division with some rebuilding teams, that Matt's going to have elevated numbers. They've got the number four spot. They can't get to the quarterback. They're not very athletic. They could use seven different defensive players. And I start looking at them, and there's this assumption that Atlanta at four is going to take a quarterback. And I think to myself, I look at Matt Ryan, I think he's a top 12 quarterback. He's expensive. You can't move him. I look at Atlanta and think, God, I'd move that pick in a second to get more picks. Denver at nine's not happy with their quarterback. Carolina's not happy. But I would struggle to make a deal with Carolina in my own division and give them a great quarterback. I think Atlanta moves out of four. I mean, if you ran them, what would you do if you have Matt Ryan and a new coach coming?
Well, here's the only reason that I think they may be looking for a quarterback. Why else would the 49ers jump them? You could, for what they were offering, I would imagine Atlanta would listen to that opportunity from San Francisco if they're not looking at the quarterback. And that's what you do with these types of trades, is you're trying to say, okay, who's the next most likely person to take one of the guys that we really want? And I thought it was interesting that they jumped ahead of Atlanta to be in that spot, making me think that they feel Atlanta is a strong candidate for a quarterback.
This is interesting, Eric. Show the mock draft again. This also makes me believe, this just popped into my head, that San Francisco probably wanted to go to two to really ensure they get their guy, but that the Jets wouldn't do it. So does that tell me the Jets have a quarterback they like? Because San Francisco wants to get as high as they possibly can. Let's just take Trevor Lawrence out. They're not going to get him. So, like you said, every team says they have a couple, but they really have one. San Francisco probably wanted to go to two, and the Jets wouldn't let him.
Yeah, I would think that they would have wanted to go to two, and I'm sure they had conversations. I would, or at least I'd imagine they'd have conversations with New York, and the fact that New York didn't move lends itself to what you have on your mock draft, is that they want one of those guys, and they want to be in the position to take one of those guys. Yeah, if you're San Francisco and you're giving up what you gave up, you're trying to get the two to make sure you have the player that you absolutely want. Because now you there is an element where they could be jumped again if New York decides to do
right.
A deal. And they could lose their guy after all they've given up.
So, by the way, you won three rings in New England. Do you buy, but there's a story today, Garoppolo, New England on the table. After this deal, does it make you think more or less of that opportunity?
It makes me think more of that opportunity after this deal. I thought there was no chance when they were saying that this was option one, I think, a few weeks ago, no chance. But now that you make the move that you make, him going to New England or even somewhere else, to me, is a distinct possibility. He's got such a low dead cap number that to clear $23 million off your books and be able to do some things with that money and a young quarterback, makes it more attractive to move them.
By the way, you were on a team that was the last to repeat as your Super Bowl champion. So Tampa brings the whole band back. Our assumption is, well, hell, now they get a preseason. I mean, from the bye week on, they were 8-0 and blew everybody out. What's the hardest thing about repeating?
It's Teddy Atlas's rule that success is like a martini. It relaxes you. And you're under this assumption that everything is going to start where it left off. And we learned in New England, we won that first Super Bowl, then we missed the playoffs the next year, and then we won the second Super Bowl, and we weren't going to make those same mistakes. The reality is it gets so much harder the next year because every team, regardless of where they are, is going to give you their best shot. For teams that are struggling, it's a chance to prove progress. In the preseason, it doesn't stop. And for you, you feel like you've arrived to some degree, and you've got to get over that arrogance to be in a position to repeat.
Yeah. All right. Nice stuff, Eric. Excellent work today. Thank you for playing along with our silly mock draft. All this
love your mock draft.
So do I, actually. All right, Eric. Good seeing you.
All right. Well, take care.
All right. Save big on your water and energy bills with Navien tankless water heaters. They provide instant, endless hot water for spa-like comfort. TanklessMadeSimple.com, TanklessMadeSimple.com. Navien, check them out. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
What a lovely Friday.
So lucky. And I was just done. I just reached the part in the show that I didn't have much else to say. I interviewed Andy Enfield, and I was like, all right, well, I can go home right now. And all of a sudden,
it's going to nail it in for the rest of the weekend. I know. Eric's mentioned a martini. I'm going to need one of those tonight. So the Seahawks have been trying to ease the tension with Russell Wilson, free agency, and Russ is sharing some of his excitement
for
some of the moves the team has made. He sent some very enthusiastic tweets after the Seahawks re-signed running back Chris Carson and when they agreed to deals with defensive ends Benson Mayoa and Kerry Hyder and Carlos Dunlap. Big time. Let's go, 32. Let's go, Benson back. And just a lot of let's goes and exclamation marks.
I'm going to support between Kerry Hyder and Carlos Dunlap. I think the defensive line is set. They've got some young guys they've drafted. They were hurt last year. A couple of their young guys they drafted were hurt. So their D-line will be better. They got a new coordinator, upgraded tight end and O-line. Russell, got to go win some games now. I mean, he won 12. I mean, I do think Seattle, let's be fair now. They have been aggressive.
Yeah.
They're not sitting on their hands. They have absolutely upgraded O-line, offensive coordinator, I think D-line, and tight end. They're trying.
And that's kind of the risk of going way aggressive and way public with your grievances is that when they do try, now you have to go and perform. Now listen, Russell Wilson is going to perform. He always does. But now the pressure is really on. Like it was just kind of rolling that direction, and now we got really messy. I don't think that they've made any kind of blockbuster move. It's like, wow.
But there's been incremental improvements.
Yes, they tight have end, tried, and that more, was what he was asking for.
Yeah, they're more athletic on the O-line and at tight end, and I think their defensive line is upgraded.
So the Bucs made it a priority to bring back all of their free agents, as you were just discussing with Coach, this offseason to keep the Super Bowl team together. Offensive lineman Donovan Smith wasn't on the market, but he did get a 2-year extension. He thinks all these moves will set Tampa's offense up to be even better in 2021.
Anytime you're in a system for multiple years, you get comfortable. Guys, you know, some things may be shaky and you're figuring out. So I think in the aspect of we have a bunch of guys coming back who've been in the system, know the system, learn the system. You're just going to see a bunch of guys coming back, flying around, having fun, playing fast. And I think that's the scary part about it because, you know, some mistakes wouldn't, you know, be made.
They did improve throughout the season. They were number 3 in scoring offense through the first 8 games and number 14 in total offense. And then they finished the regular season number 3 in scoring offense and number 7 in total offense. Yeah. So they improved throughout the season. I agree with what he's saying. I do think that Tom Brady will, when this is kind of crazy to say at this point in his career, I think he will be better in this system. They didn't have an offseason despite Tom Brady having them, you know, work out together at high schools and whatnot. And they're doing something very interesting because this doesn't happen for most teams where you're able to just
re-sign
stamp
everybody
and repeat from a Super Bowl season.
They even signed Lenny Fournette today.
Yes. Now, Antonio Brown is the only notable free agent that they haven't re-signed, but I anticipate that they will. The one thing that I think works in Tampa's benefit when it comes to repeating, because it's, as we know, it's extremely difficult to do that, and it is mostly because of what Eric was just talking about, is you get a little more comfortable. You don't have that extra little drive, that extra little chip. Let me put in a little bit more effort because I haven't been proven yet. You are proven now, but it's Tom Brady, and he is never satisfied.
Right, right.
So him being the leader and having the edge that he always has and having the chip on his shoulder that he always has, I think that will set the tone for the rest of the team. If this was something that Tom Brady didn't have in him, then I would lean more towards they don't have
it. I really feel like there is a really very secure four in the NFC. Tampa, Rams with Stafford, Green Bay, and Seattle. I think Seattle's gotten better. I think those four feel like they've really separated. I really do. I think San Francisco, if Garoppolo was healthy,
yeah,
but they would be my five. But they're the question mark. But I do feel like Seattle's gotten better. Tampa will be better. Green Bay's still good.
Well, some of the teams that we had more confidence in last year are going to look a lot different, like the Saints. I mean,
they won't be as good.
You don't have Drew Brees. And you've got to let pieces go because you were over the cap. So we don't know what they're going to look like. I still think they're going to be competitive.
I think a dark horse is Washington. I just have to do something at quarterback. But they're,
yeah. I think the Cardinals are going to be significantly better. I like a lot of their offseason moves.
God, I can't wait.
Well.
When does the season start tomorrow?
Finally, the Heat pulled off a last-minute deal. Pat Riley, the godfather, was able to acquire Victor Oladipo at the trade deadline. In return, the Rockets get Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and the right to swap picks in the 2022 draft.
Yeah.
There was a report that Houston wanted Duncan Robinson to also be part of the deal. Miami didn't want to let Robinson go, so they just were patient, and Houston at the last minute, knowing they could lose Oladipo for nothing in free agency, ultimately decided to go with the trade. The Heat have also emerged as front runners to sign LaMarcus Aldridge, who was bought out by the Spurs, and he will end up somewhere this season as well. I'm assuming this weekend.
These Florida teams, between Tampa's success and Miami, Oladipo is a good defensive player, whereas Tyler Hero, not much of a defensive player. So Victor's a veteran, played on teams.
Tyler's still very young. We think more of him because he had such an amazing season last year. But
well, they're
he
a young
is still
team.
Very young.
So yes. Oladipo's a veteran and LaMarcus Aldridge is a veteran.
I think this is a great addition for the Heat.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Yes, they needed it, and to get it for the trade that they were able to pull off is amazing. Not surprising because it's Pat Riley. But yes, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Being aggressive wins in sports.
Just do it.
Sitting there and not doing, and listen, Tampa Bay is repeating with everything that they had, but they were aggressive about making sure they bring everybody back. Like, that's what they wanted to do. So they were aggressive about that. We're seeing this crazy trade with San Francisco and the Eagles and Miami. Yeah. Like, you got to make moves out here.
Yep. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
We'll wrap
news.
Up what's been a fun show today, especially the last 90 minutes. Jason McIntyre, tomorrow's headlines today. Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned coffee company, premium coffee, served to people who love America. And first responders, go to blackriflecoffee.com, code HERD. Get 20% off your first coffee club order. J-Mac next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Jason McIntyre now joins us live. Tomorrow's headlines today. Well, the NBA trade deadline was yesterday, but we're gonna start with breaking news. And first of all, we both love breaking news in the NFL.
Oh, so good. Now, how good? I mean, listen, you got breaking news. You got Zach Wilson's pro day. Colin, you know his nickname, the Mormon Mahomes. Okay, this is catching on. It's sweeping all of New York. I had that in my last mock draft, and all these people loved it. The Mormon Mahomes, Zach Wilson, is going to the Jets at two. And they finally get a franchise quarterback.
All right, so let's do tomorrow's headlines today. What's going to be the headline for the Niners after trading for the number 3 overall pick?
Yeah, monster trades today in the NFL. I'm sure you talked to your buddy John Lynch. The headline will be Fields of Dreams. I think Justin Fields is the guy who goes third to the 49ers. Now, what's interesting is they are probably going to keep Jimmy G. I know this sounds shocking. The Patriots want him. Maybe Denver's interested. But there is a lot of speculation out there, Colin, that they could do what the Chiefs did when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. We need a year where he sits out and studies the system. Alex Smith was the guy who they held in KC. Now Jimmy G sticks around for a year. Then they hand it over to Justin Fields. I like Fields here, Colin. He's 22 years old. Trey Lance is only 20. Okay, Fields been in college 3 years. He did only start 22 games, but he was there at Georgia for a year. Got a lot of live action in the SEC. He did run a 4.41 40. Okay, I know Trey Lance is fast and athletic, but Justin Fields, given the level of competition, the athletic ability to run Shanahan's system. When you look at the quarterback Shanahan had succeeded with, Colin, Matt Ryan was like incredible. He's not even mobile. Jimmy G went to a Super Bowl. He's not mobile. They will make the jump to light speed with Justin Fields. I love it in San Francisco.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Biggest winner in the West after the NBA trade deadline.
This is a bit of a stunner. Everybody loves the Lakers and the Clippers. The headline will be Joker joins forces with Commissioner Gordon. Yes, a little Batman humor for your Friday. Colin, I said this on Straight Fire, my podcast this morning. Okay, the Denver Nuggets have the best roster in the West. That is a fact. Okay, they've got better players than the Los Angeles Lakers. They're deeper. That doesn't mean they're winning the West, but I love this Aaron Gordon addition. 6'8", 240. He's the guy on the wing that can defend Paul George, Kawhi, LeBron. Get this. Their fourth best player is Michael Porter Jr., who everybody in the league wants. The Nuggets have made him untouchable. You get Jamal Murray. Jokic is an MVP candidate. Nobody wants to face Denver in the first round right now. Colin, I think they go back to the Western Conference Finals. I love what they did at the deadline.
Yeah, I thought it was a real move. He's a big athletic wing. They have a LeBron defender. There are no LeBron stoppers, but to your point, he can match up physically with LeBron right up and down the floor. Tomorrow's headlines today, biggest winner in the East after the NBA trade deadline.
Yeah, I was hoping the Celtics would make a move. Did not. You know, we thought the Sixers would do something. Nothing huge. The headline will be Miami declared victor at the deadline. I know Joy's doing a victory lap today. They got Victor Oladipo for a bag of basketballs. I mean, it's incredible how Pat Riley just stays winning, Colin. They did not mortgage any of their future. Tyler Hero, he's not going anywhere. Duncan Robinson, also kept on the roster. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. The kid Kendrick Nunn is playing well. And now you add Oladipo.
Yeah.
This is an all-NBA guy 4 years ago. I know the injuries have slowed him down. But, Colin, I'm telling you, the key in the NBA is staying flexible. The Miami Heat gave up no first-round picks here, okay? And they have their young guys. So if a disgruntled superstar this offseason says, get me out of here, say, I don't know, Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota, Miami steps up to the plate. We've got assets. What do you want? If Bradley Beal says, you know what? I've had enough of Russell Westbrook. Get me out of Washington. Miami's right there. So they improve this year the roster. They can get back to the NBA Finals. Maybe the Nets are a hurdle. And in the offseason, they have flexibility. Just a monster win for Pat Riley.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for the Lakers following the trade deadline?
All right. So the Lakers, well, listen, Colin, they didn't really make a move. I'm a little concerned about the situation with LeBron and AD. The headline will be champs might be chumps. And this is not going to make Laker fans happy. They've been getting on my case this week, Colin. The fact of the matter is, if LeBron and AD are out for another 3 weeks, and that's what it looks like, the timetable's about three more weeks, the Lakers are headed toward the play-in game, and I'm not even kidding. They're only 4.5 up on the eighth seed right now. Colin, they've lost four in a row, and they had the easiest schedule. Look at the standings right here. The Lakers had the easiest schedule in the first half. The second half of the season, you know what the NBA loves to do. Hey, there's no more NFL on TV. March Madness is over. Let's load up the Lakers with national TV games. So the schedule is brutal coming up for the Lakers. They honestly could go 2-11 in their next 13 games without LeBron and AD. That's not an exaggeration if you look at the schedule. I think the Lakers are headed toward the 9 seed, Colin, and the play-in game. But silver lining, you play the Utah Jazz after you win the play-in game. We know LeBron and AD, healthy, are not afraid of the Jazz. So heading to the play-in game, not the end of the world, but it's about to get very rocky for the Lakers.
Finally, tomorrow's headlines today. Biggest surprise move during the trade deadline.
I kind of love this one, Colin. We get to make fun of these guys all the time. The headline will be rated PG-13 for mild desperation. Okay, the Clippers unload Lou Williams, who basically was the last holdover from that tough team they had a couple years ago when they pushed the Warriors, KD and Curry, to six games. They pick up Rondo, a 35-year-old point guard who's done nothing all season. I know he's got like the playoff Rondo thing, but this is an embarrassing fall for the Clippers, okay? 2 years ago, they get Kawhi and Paul George. They're the kings of the league. They got Montrez. They got Lou. Colin, it has gone significantly downhill. This is a team without a leader, so they pick up a 35-year-old off the scrap heap to be their leader. Colin, just pathetic stuff from the Clippers. It's like, who you trotting out in crunch time? Luke Kennard, Nick Batum, Rondo? Colin, the Clippers have major problems right now. I'm not going overboard when I say potential first-round ouster in the playoffs if they have to draw the Nuggets or the Phoenix Suns. It's getting ugly for the Clippers.
Yeah, boy, Denver did make a good move. So let's go back to the NFL. So the Jets, your Jets have the number two pick. So San Francisco probably would have preferred moving to the number two spot so nobody could jump them. They settled for the number three spot, which tells me the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. Otherwise, they would have just taken all the picks from San Francisco. Isn't that what it tells you?
Yeah. Well, there are Jets fans out there. You and I know Damian Woody, former Jets lineman. He's out there saying maybe the Jets should trade back and get a lot of picks. That's a terrible idea, Colin. The Jets have never, ever in my lifetime, in yours, had a franchise quarterback, okay? Chad Pennington wasn't the guy. Sam Darnold wasn't the guy. Mark Sanchez was not the guy. Zach Wilson can be the guy. The Jets spent lavishly in free agency. We like their moves. Almost everybody's giving them like a B-plus or A in free agency. Zach Wilson, the guy at two. Justin Fields, probably the guy at three. I think that's the move. Where it gets interesting, Colin, is four. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, you just hired a new coach. You're not drafting a backup quarterback for Matt Ryan, who's still got plenty of good years left, are you?
Nope.
I think the Falcons can pivot quickly. Remember, the Saints, they're going downhill. No more Drew Brees. Falcons can get to the playoffs. They just need to get healthy defensively. And, you know, we'll see what Carolina does. I don't know if you're on board, with Mac Jones in the top 10 all of a sudden.
Not.
I'm not sold on him like some other people are.
Good stuff, J-Mac. Appreciate it. Yeah, I want to show the mock draft one more time. I do believe that Denver is going to try to get up to that number four spot. That's my guess. Carolina would like to get there, but there's no way Atlanta's going to make a deal in division with Carolina. So this is my mock draft. I do think Denver is going to try to get to that number four spot with Atlanta. Atlanta trades back, gets more picks, rebuilds their roster with a new head coach. And we are done. NASCAR next. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.